So we are rolling. It is April 29th. We are at Merlefest at Wilkes Community College, and I'm here with Mr. Jim Lauderdale. So, Mr. Lauderdale, could you briefly just sort of a getting started question? Just tell us a little bit about your music.
My music is kind of a mixture of a lot of different things. Growing up in North Carolina, I heard so many different things growing up in the 60s with rock radio, country radio, bluegrass, soul music, and I do a little bit of all of that, and they call that Americana. And that's kind of what I've been doing all these years. And I grew up in Troutman, Charlotte. Went to South Carolina for a few years and finished high school in Chapel Hill. Went to college at North Carolina School of the Arts and have a place in Flat Rock, North Carolina.
Great.
So I've kept my North Carolina roots all these years. I mean, I keep going back to the well.
Great, thank you. And you, I think you currently live in Nashville?
I do, yeah.
Great. Okay, well, so we'll get started with our list here. Think back, what is your favorite memory of Merlefest or the Watson family from your time performing here?
You know, that's a hard one to just narrow down.
We can give us a couple if you like.
I'll kind of, some of these I see kind of tie in together.
Yeah.
I just always got the feeling that playing here, when I finally started playing here, that it was such a rite of passage for me, and that I'd made it. And it is really, I feel like every year I can kind of gauge my growth in music, musically, in the year in between Merlefests. Mm-hmm. And it's super important to me to play here, and I can't imagine not playing here, so I don't want to jinx anything, but there is something here with the audiences. It's such a huge festival, but the audience is so kind and likable, lovable, and down to earth. And this festival, it's so organized and well run, and it's just, I don't know, it's just, there's even though it's so huge, there's no chaos. And I'm always too amazed at the folks that are booking it and working backstage, that they're so calm and collected. I don't see how they do it. So every year it's been something different, and it seems like every year I keep thinking, this is the best year ever. It has been really different in so many ways without Doc here, but his memory definitely is so cherished and honored and respected that he is here. I know that when I first started, had the courage to speak to Doc, and he I was always a little nervous around him, even though he was just, you know, the nicest guy. And so I tried to be cool around him and not seem like too much of a fanboy, just a regular guy. But his wife, Rosalie, liked a record I did with Ralph Stanley called Lost in the Lonesome Pines. And to have her acknowledge that, and Doc to acknowledge that, just meant the world to me. And it just, I, you know, loved them both very much.
Do you remember, this is a follow-up question, do you remember the first festival you attended or performed at after he died? And can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was there was a sadness, you know, that there was a void with Doc not being here. And it was amazing that he, you know, wanted to, of course he wanted to play, but that he was still playing, you know, here the last time I'd seen him. And, you know, his spirit just is all over this place. And I think that it is one of those things that when a loved one passes away and there's so much sadness, but then you have to keep going, celebrate them. And so I think that is, will always continue.
Sure, great.
And he'll never be forgotten.
I'm sure, yeah. You know. Thank you. So moving on to the second question, can you talk a little bit about why you think Merlefest is a homecoming of both fans and musicians?
I think that everybody has such a unique experience here and a really needed and pleasurable and joyful and deep experience here that it becomes this familiar thing, and it's so ingrained in you after you've been here that when you come back, that familiarity and those older good feelings are there, and then new ones are happening. And so I think, you know, within our minds and spirits, that it's this recognition of this wonderful time you've had, and it does something to you, you know. I think it kind of lets your heart rest a little bit.
Yeah, great, thank you. So think back to your sort of first level of involvement or your first time here with the festival. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved and share any memories of maybe even your first performance here?
Yes. I am a little fuzzy on the exact year. I believe it must have been 1996. And I had just returned from playing in Europe with opening up for a guy named Nick Lowe, a rock and roll guy. And I had recorded a couple of songs with Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. One was on a country album I did. I wanted to end the record with Ralph and his band. And then he kindly had me sing on one of his albums called Clinch Mountain Country. So I had sat in with Ralph several times at different places, and I'd been wanting to come to Merlefest, and my agents were trying to get me in. And so I spoke with James Allen Shelton, Ralph Stanley's guitar player, and I said, hey, I'd love to come to Merlefest. He said, well, come sit in with us. And so I was very excited about that. So I flew into Charlotte, drove to Statesville, spent the night, and I was born in Statesville. Mm-hmm. And then drove over. I was still a little jet lagged. And when I went to the backstage room of the Watson stage, when I opened the door, James Allen Shelton said to the guys, oh good, he's here. And then he said to me, you've got to go on, two is sick. And that was Ralph Stanley II. And so it woke me up real good out of my jet lag. And it was kind of like one of those dream situations where it could be a nightmare, you know, as when those performers get them. And so I did a quick little study thing and made some notes, because through the years I had always sung Ralph Stanley's harmony parts, but never the lead part that Carter did, or mm-hmm. Ralph Singer's after Carter passed. And so I went out, and also one of my heroes, David Grisman, was mm-hmm. playing here. And so Ralph had him sitting. So it was this incredible experience of getting, for my first time, getting to be on the main stage with Ralph, and then we played in the traditional tent. And so I got through it, and after that, I kind of got the courage to ask Ralph if we could record together. And so we did two albums together. And I really think and firmly believe that if it wasn't for that experience here at Merlefest, we wouldn't have done those records. And from those records, many things happened. Like I began writing with Robert Hunter, the mm-hmm. lyricist of the Grateful Dead, mm-hmm. because I was doing a record with Ralph, and he was a fan of Ralph's. And that led to writing many songs and records. And also at Merlefest, so that was huge mm-hmm. in my life. And then I've been playing every year since then. And so that's, you know, just been so wonderful for me. And one year, and I had met these guys called Dawn of the Buffalo, mm-hmm. and they had me paired up with them. They used to do that a lot. They'd have various artists perform, you know, on different stages, and we were on the Hillside stage. And I had met them, and we played some, and that really... And then they started saying, hey, you know, we're doing this. We've got our own festival up in upstate New York. Come, we'll back you up. And then we ended up doing a record together, and every year we performed together at various places, and that was really important to me. And I had been a big fan of Elvis Costello's for a long time, and when I'd see him, we would play at some of the same places, the Grand Ole Opry and the Newport Folk Festival, and every time I'd see him, I'd give him several CDs. And then I got a phone call from Elvis Costello, and he said, I'm going to be playing at Merlefest. I was wondering if you're not too busy, if you would sing harmonies with me. So I said, yes. And so I did that, and then he had me sing on two records, and we wrote a few songs, and I got to tour with him for about a year and a half. And there again, that was so important for me and huge for my career. And there again, that's another thing that I'm really grateful to Merlefest about. I think that this is a real fertile ground for these collaborations to happen, and for people, for musicians seeing each other backstage to all of a sudden get this idea of like, hey, you know, we ought to do something together. And it's just, it's just a great place for that.
Yeah, I really get the sense from the research I've done and talking to others that what you just identified is like maybe the biggest sort of legacy of the festival, of that kind of coming together and the exchange of ideas, you know. Yeah, great. Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have touched on this certainly, but I'll ask it, maybe you can expand upon it. What makes performing here special, and then why do you return year after year? Because you said you started around 96 and have been here every year since.
Yeah.
So, and this came up last night with Scythian, that sort of what point did you realize, I'm coming here every year? Was there a point, you know? I feel like it sort of relates to this idea.
Well, I'll tell you, I never take it for granted that I won't. I mean, I want to come every year, but in our business, you never know. And at most festivals, you'll be there you might play, and then you might never play again, or you might play 5 years later, 10 years later. But it's kind of unusual, and so I feel so fortunate and that I have been able to, been asked to come back. And I helped with a songwriting contest for a while, the Chris Austin songwriting contest. I guess did it 20 something years. I can't keep it straight, but that was a really wonderful experience to get to see these great, talented songwriters every year. And I enjoyed that we'd have a little mentoring class after the contest with the participants. And I enjoyed sharing whatever knowledge I had with them, because I feel like, look, it's, I can't teach anybody how to write a song, but you can inspire somebody or give them some tips and things. And so I really enjoyed doing that. And but I just, you know, every year too, it seems like there's, I'm learning while I'm here. It's not kind of a ritual, but I think that it's just something that keeps happening because of the Midnight Jam and the album hour with the Waybacks on the Hillside, when they've needed, they didn't do it for a year because they had just a female singer come in, and, you know, but they do these albums, and James Nash does these amazing, brilliant arrangements of all of these different songs, and it's a huge crowd out there. It's really popular. And so I'm always learning kind of up to the last minute the couple of songs I do on that. And for the Midnight Jam, learning something this year, I'm learning a couple of things I've never done before. And usually with my sets, I try to throw in something that I've not done here or maybe ever before. This year I'm working in some, I've got a country album coming out in a few months, and so I'm performing these songs I've never done, and I wanted Merlefest to be the kind of a premier place for that. So it is, it's a nice combination of being kind of nervous because of this new material and the stage fright of that, and then the warmth of everybody here just really helps relax, puts me at ease, or else I would be a nervous wreck. But several people I see out in the audience, I see year after year, and I want to change things up so it's not always the same show. So it's a good challenge. It's real intense. Mm. These, usually I'm performing for 3 days, and it is so. I mean, I'm a little on edge, but in a good way.
Right.
And so at the very end of Merlefest, I just really kind of collapse a little bit because it's been so intense.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So you referenced the next question, I think, in your response to this one, or the previous one, but are there any particular rituals or traditions that you only do around this time of year that lead up or right after the festival?
I think that, I do Tai Chi every morning. So I, in the morning outside of the hotel, and it really helped this morning because I had an 11 a.m. set with a band called Songs from the Road Band, bluegrass band, and I was working in some new songs. I'm always running a little late, and so doing that outside helped me calm down a little bit. And then during the sound check, before the crowd came in, there were a few people there, and just that openness and kindness in the eyes of the audience, you know, helped me.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
So would you please, you know, describe your relationship with Doc and the festival, and really in particular how it evolved since you first started performing?
you know, when it Merlefest seemed to always be such a large festival. I don't know the numbers every year, but it seems to have been a pretty consistent. I remember when Dolly Parton was here, it seemed like there were a few more thousand people there, but it is just such a vast sea of people out there, you see. And so that part hasn't changed. I do see some new faces every year. But I feel like there's been a consistency through the years of the amount of stages and the running of things. And Doc, you know, him talking to me or me being able to knock on the door of his dressing room and go in and spend a few minutes and talk to him just was so special for me. And I know everybody, that all of the performers felt that way, because he was just very gracious and he was never in a hurry, you know, always in a good mood. And I had this thought last year when I played and shared it with the audience, but thinking about Doc, you know, from being from here, and what he did musically changed the face of popular music in so many ways, his influence. And, you know, it's just incredible that one person, you know, just looking out, and it goes way beyond Merlefest. But people, I was mentioning Elvis Costello earlier, and he wrote a song on the record I sang on about Dr. Watson. And it was about meeting Doc. I mean, that's what inspired him to write that. And you get these people from all different styles of music that John Oates, who's from the huge pop group Hall and Oates, I helped get him here a few years ago. And he, when he was a teenager, used to hang out with the promoter of the Philadelphia Folk Festival and would sit in the promoter's living room and kind of look in amazement at Doc and, you know, spend time with him. And, you know, here he is, this huge rock star, but he wanted to play Merlefest so bad. And, you know, he had a real far reach. It just happened, you know, the music that came out of him and being the man he was, you know, there wasn't a game plan or a strategy or anything like that. It was just the music that came out of him, which is deceivingly simple, his guitar style in some ways. But he had such a distinct, strong voice and his style of flat picking that was so, it was like every note he played and sang counted. You know, there wasn't any, you know, slack or anything. It was just so strong what he did and so musical. And just alone, his guitar playing influenced all of those flat pickers that came after him and the other flat pickers that influenced other people like Clarence White or Tony Rice. That started with Doc. And so we owe him a lot just musically and, you know, the influences that have gone on.
Great, thank you. So is there anything else that you'd like to share that maybe we haven't covered that would be relevant to this conversation?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
It. Oh, I'm sorry. And I don't know if this If I didn't already kind of hint at this, that Merlefest is such an important thing for, and kind of this holy grail for musicians to want to play at. And it is a rite of passage for people. And I don't know anybody that has ever not been thrilled or just had the time of their life performing here. Because it is unique, and we all play at different festivals, and they're all different. But there's really, you know, Merlefest is kind of a crown jewel of festivals. And so long may it run.